Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. We begin with the Word of God from the Psalms, a word that simply means songs. Psalm 26, "For I have always been mindful of your unfailing love, Lord, and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. Deliver me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord." We have an affirmation of our faith that we use each week, and this is the same one as we used last week because of the topic, which is the Holy Spirit. "At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." The reading of God's Word for today is from Matthew's Gospel, the 18th chapter, verses 15 through 20. Jesus is speaking here of the church and discipline and the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus said, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I finished last week's worship service with a reminder about the work of the Holy Spirit, a work in the church of Jesus Christ. I was thinking that my ordination committee included pastors and members of three congregations, that the Christian churches didn't depend on the Holy Spirit in just one congregation. It looked to the Holy Spirit across congregations. Then more things occurred to me that perhaps I could have emphasized, so let's talk more about the Holy Spirit in Jesus' churches. Looking back through the last several years, I have not preached on the Holy Spirit very often, not even once a year. I noticed that one of my most popular sermons on the church's website, and I remind you, it's the church's website, not mine. The Holy Spirit does not operate alone. Our Lord Jesus said so as we read God's word today, Matthew 18, 19. "Again, I assure you, if two of you on earth agree about any matter that you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them." The Holy Spirit does not operate alone. When we have elected people in this congregation, the Holy Spirit in nomination and acceptance of nomination looks to the Holy Spirit in the congregation for confirmation of the Holy Spirit in nomination and acceptance of nomination. Those were a lot of big words, but the most important words were Holy Spirit in many together. sermons, as I understand it, are supposed to be the Holy Spirit speaking to and for the Holy Spirit in the congregation. We pray just before the sermon for the Holy Spirit to be upon us when we go to God's Word so we can hear and be servants as the Holy Spirit intends. When I retire, I am not posting any more sermons. The Holy Spirit will work with me differently than from a pulpit. I remind you, it is your website, the church's website, not mine. The Holy Spirit does not operate alone. So one of the most popular sermons on your website is entitled The Power of the Holy Spirit. At first, I was glad. Then I was concerned because I have other sermons on the Holy Spirit that are not even close in popularity to the one entitled The Power of the Holy Spirit. Popularity isn't important, but it does tell us how far God's Word is going out from Daleville Christian Church. Two of the other sermons are entitled Holy Spirit Connections and Spiritual Eyes. The sermon entitled Spiritual Eyes is about discernment, being able to comprehend, to see, to hear spiritually, to be able to see and hear with the Holy Spirit. Is that not what our Lord Jesus spoke of and the prophet Isaiah? The Lord is doing a new thing. Do you not see it? Asks the Holy Spirit through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 43:19. Isaiah saw with spiritual eyes. How many times does our Lord Jesus say, those who have eyes, let them see? Jesus asked the disciples. And then what happened on the road to Emmaus? When Jesus met disciples on the road to Emmaus, when they sat down to eat, the eyes of the disciples were opened. Not because they were blind, but because they didn't know it was Jesus sitting right in front of them. Their eyes were working, but the Holy Spirit hadn't convinced them that indeed it was Jesus alive again after Jesus' crucifixion. The Holy Spirit had to convince the disciples that the fleshly death of Jesus had been overcome by the power of God. That truth is quite a jolt to the brain. There are a number of reports from World War II when family members were sure that their beloved soldier had been killed in action or missing and presumed dead. Even when families later heard or saw that their soldier was alive, it was still a stretch to accept it. Often those receiving that news that their loved one was alive, after all, the first response was doubt. Their deaths were reported, or their deaths could be easily assumed. See any of the sermons where I mention Louis Zamperini, who was lost at sea, and he was lost at sea longer than anyone had been lost at sea and survived to tell about it. On what basis could his family hope he was still alive? And yet he was alive and a prisoner of the Japanese, having survived longer than anyone to that date. Lost at sea, he was a prisoner of the Japanese. It was also a jolt to the minds of the disciples when Jesus was right in front of them. Even Thomas was not going to believe just his eyes, but use his hands as well, when he put them in Jesus' wounds. Only then, he said, would his brain be overcome and he would know the man before him was Jesus risen from the dead. But the Holy Spirit overcame the fleshly eyes of those two disciples Easter morning near Emmaus, and the Holy Spirit overcame their fleshly thinking brains. Luke 24:35, how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So seeing spiritually may require some practice and skill on our part. Fleshly eyes are not enough to see spiritually. I was warned before I was ordained about preaching about the Holy Spirit. that warning and the popularity of your sermon on the power of the Holy Spirit should be discussed now. Because the Holy Spirit is power. But the Holy Spirit is a power to serve. Americans, even American Christians, don't want to hear that. But we've already talked about Matthew 25 and the life of the Holy Spirit for the sheep in Jesus' story. The sheep who are going to reward, prepared by the Heavenly Father, their lives were lives of service. Feeding, clothing, visiting, and giving water to the thirsty. And of course, the Holy Spirit understands that water isn't always just water, H2O. Our Lord Jesus gives, He gave, and He still gives, living water. We too share, are to share this living water to the afflicted, the sick, and the dying, those who are physically ill, and those whose spirits are perishing. Too many so-called preachers and pastors have wanted power, Holy Spirit power, to elevate themselves. More audience, more people who confess Jesus, more conversions, more book sales. That was what one of my former hero pastors wanted. Is that not what evangelist Ravi Zacharias wanted? He established a worldwide evangelist network, wrote 30 books on Christianity, hosted 2 radio programs. Some of you know that Reverend Zacharias was discredited after his death in 2020. Isn't this the kind of Holy Spirit power that Benny Hinn claims for himself? Hinn actually told one television viewer to be sure to send his check to the ministry before he is healed. Or the pastors with their own jet aircraft, so-called Pastor Kenneth Copeland. I don't know what he's pastor of. He has no church, and I couldn't find any information on his ordination. He prayed for a tornado to miss his house, and the tornado did miss his house. Sorry about all the other houses that got hit. Either Pastor Copeland didn't have that much Holy Spirit power to save the other houses, or the Holy Spirit only cared about Pastor Copeland's house, or Pastor Copeland only had enough Holy Spirit power to turn a tornado away from one house, and Kenneth Copeland decided it would be his house that the tornado would turn from. Why? Because God cared more about his house and his jet aircraft than the other houses? Kenneth Copeland, by his own admission, is a very rich man. Kenneth Copeland can afford to lose his house to a tornado. He can probably afford to lose his house more than once and have it entirely rebuilt. Many Christians, like the men I've mentioned, have wanted Holy Spirit power the same way the disciples were tempted to use Holy Spirit power to call down fire on the unbelievers, or being chosen number one and number two behind Jesus, or number two and number three behind Jesus. Like the pastor quoted last week, told his church he should not be questioned because he had the Holy Spirit. As I, Pastor McManus, pointed out, everyone else in the church has the same Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks through them as well. That pastor also misunderstood something else about the Holy Spirit. As powerful as the Holy Spirit is humble. One of the problems of the flesh is this. Once the Holy Spirit enters our bodies, we realize we're in touch with a power greater than ourselves. That can make the more fleshly thinking among us to understand themselves as greater than any other. Besides being greater than they were, now they see themselves as greater than others. But none of us is greater than another in Jesus' church, or in the viewpoint of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit can be said to elevate a person, the Holy Spirit only elevates the believer to the same level of all the other believers who have the Holy Spirit. But it's this fleshly way of thinking that makes preaching on the Holy Spirit dangerous, as I was warned. People, believers, for a time, can think of themselves empowered and called to call down fire on others. But Jesus didn't allow that. We could also notice that Jesus and the disciples did not question their ability to call down fire. It just wasn't the Holy Spirit thing to do. Jesus knew there was no need to call down fire, because at the last judgment, recompense would take place. So how shall we understand the Holy Spirit alive in all the people of Jesus' churches? Pastor Bob Belts, formerly of High Street Church in Santa Cruz, California, now serves a church in Colorado, has written a good book entitled Becoming a Man of the Spirit, aimed at men's ministries. Pastor Belts is a pastor of a church and an author of several books, but no television program. And an organization he did form is a nonprofit. All of a sudden, I like him. He wrote concerning the Holy Spirit that since the Holy Spirit is a person, then one's relationship with the Holy Spirit is ongoing. He wrote, being filled with the Holy Spirit describes a quality of relationship with the Holy Spirit and with our Lord, allowing Jesus' Spirit within us to be the dominant influence of a believer's life. Pastor Belts explains Galatians 5:17 this way: the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is contrary to the sinful nature. And it shall always be so until we all return to dust. But the conflict in us demonstrates that we have Jesus' Spirit, and we are to work to make Jesus' Spirit the dominant influence in our lives. And as we claim in our affirmation of faith from Titus chapter 2, we were made by our Lord to do good things. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Jesus has claimed us by faith for the things he intended for you and I to do, and you, by the Holy Spirit, have been doing them, being a blessing. Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works don't get salvation. Salvation has already come through Jesus Christ. If you've accepted that, then the good works start coming by the power of the Holy Spirit. A power to serve in Jesus' name. That our Lord be praised for what we are doing. Our fleshly minds and the flesh side of our hearts will struggle for the flesh. But we are making the Holy Spirit win until Jesus gives us the final victory. Continue to be a blessing by the power of the Holy Spirit within you, given you by the Lord to do the things our Lord has called us to do. Amen.